This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome back to the Dean Show. Today we're going to be talking about the family, keeping it together, preventing it from breaking apart. My guest who's coming on a second, Imam Mustafa Zaid, who's the author of The Lies About Muhammad. He is also an imam in New Jersey, has a lot of experience dealing with families who have these issues, husband and wife coming together but having a hard time staying together. Some know their roles, some don't, and some just don't want to know, and we want everybody to know and to implement what the Creator has told them to implement so we can live a more fruitful, productive life and we can have success in this life, success and paradise, which is the ultimate destination and goal. In the next, we'll be right back to talk about the family, keeping it together here on The Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, this is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, this is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
How
are you?
Alhamdulillah.
The Lies About Muhammad, you're the author of it.
Yes.
And you have a lot of experience. You've been an imam for how long?
About 8-9 years now.
8-9 years. So in our last show, people can go to thedeanshow.com and we discussed family business, family planning, how to keep the homes together rather than breaking it, because you will suffer, the kids will suffer. So we really want to talk more about this issue and give some practical tips, examples of people who did the wrong thing, not the right thing, and where they are today, how that affected them. So can you just bring us up to speed on some of the things that we talked about in the previous episode, and people can go back to thedeanshow.com to see that.
A common one is the level of gratefulness to the marriage. Some husbands and some wives thinks that the qualities that they have from their marriage is a birth given right, and they focus only on the negative things. Till it mushrooms into a divorce, and the husband or the wife would go seek another marriage. And in that other marriage, whatever they had thought is given them for granted is actually not even there. For example, a husband used to complain, and you know, I witnessed this, that the wife does not take care of herself, she does not put that enough makeup, and so on and so forth. And maybe the wife was not, you know, paying attention to that much, even though we give her the advice. And because she took care of his household and his children like no one else could, and he decided, you know, I want divorce. There's a lot of the temptations out there. I want a beautiful woman that does not make me look. He did not pay attention to the grateful and be grateful for the good qualities that his wife was providing. He looked for the real beautiful one, the high maintenance beautiful wife. She was Muslim too. He got married and she provided zero of the other things that he took for granted. She did not cook. She didn't want to have children until, you know, certain time. And when she had children, she wanted to put conditions that she would buy, you know, hire enough nannies and so on and so forth. And he would wish for one day of the quality of life that he had with his other wife. And that was a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you need to be grateful first for what you have before you ask for more. And the same thing applies vice versa to wives too. The husband works hard, he provides, he takes care of her, but maybe because of that hard work, he does not have enough time to spend with the wife as much as she likes. But for that little thing, she wants to blow up the entire marriage, and she does. She now goes with a husband that, yes, you know, spends more time with her, but does not provide and actually want her to go out there and work because we cannot afford what we have, you know, from the beginning that I, and so on and so forth. And the qualities that the other husband was providing is gone, and now she does not care. Actually, she wants lesser time with the second husband altogether. Why? She was not grateful to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ ظَلُومٌ خَطَأٌ. If you count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to. They're countless, but people are ungrateful. Another example is the influence, the outside influence. For example, this is a recent one, business owner, millionaire, you know, any dream husband for any wife, and she had a college degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the couple with two beautiful babies. The mother comes in, well, I did not send you to college and had all these costs and all that, you know, work in caring for you so you can sit home. But sit home, you are caring for your own babies. And what you need to work for, we work to compensate our hours and hard work for money. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with that money in even plenty and in abundance with your husband, why do you want to go out there and work for $40,000 a year and your husband is a millionaire, leaving your two babies? And the mother influence, and you know, again, was not grateful for the case. What happened? Divorce. Now she's not married. Very hard for her to get married with two babies. And if you want to work now, well, go work and spend your entire income on babysitting the kids and so on and so forth.
This is a live example?
Yes, yes.
So the husband was a millionaire.
Yes.
And now you mentioned the outside influence. This yes. is where it happened. The mother-in-law yes. was coming in.
Yes. And to your surprise, sometimes the influence of the mother-in-law or the father-in-law is to, how would I say it, air a grievance that they had in their own personal life. So sometimes the mother was really oppressed by an oppressive husband who really oppressed her and was unjust with her. So she want to retaliate subconsciously, maybe not intentionally, subconsciously, by making her daughter the dominant force in the household and really belittling the man as if he is, you know, a doormat or something. And no real man would accept that. So what happens? Divorce. And who is the victim? Her own daughter and the children. And the daughter is the one to blame. Your mother is your mother, but your mother had her own house and her own life to apply her own ideology and her own manners in it. You are responsible for your own household, not your mother. So that was her fault, bringing that influence. And this brings me to a point where, yes, parents are sacred in Islam. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, and they're doing well by parents. But doing well by parents is not something that contradicts the other halal of having a good husband, having a good life, obeying the husband, obeying the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to your role as a spouse in your own household. And you'll never find in Islam a halal that contradicts another halal. It's all complementary, it's all, you know, a whole harmonized structure. So when people bring these contradictions, they are bringing outside influences that victimizes their own selves and their own children and their own marriage in the process.
Now, just to bring some people up to speed who didn't see the last show, we did that. Okay, and people, we encourage to really know your role and your rights. So the man has to provide for the household. He has to take care of the wife, be kind to her, merciful Absolutely. From her. You quoted some hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best among you are those who are best to their family, their wives, and I'm the best. So to try to be the best to your wife and not to be a dictator, consult with your wife. But after now the president, the CEO, someone had to leave the house, Allah, the creator, put the man in charge. So once he makes a decision, he consults with his Lord, he does istihara, prays, and he feels this is the right thing. The woman, as we said earlier, she has to obey the husband?
Has to obey the husband, and if she has a different opinion, she needs to voice that and states. And you know what? It's not opinions as different personalities. Opinion that adheres also to the benefit of Islamic law that we talk about. So you're not going to find, if you abide by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wife, and that's where your opinion is formulated according to, and the same way that your husband that rules and actually takes care of the household based on Islamic law, you're not going to find any contradiction. Life would be so easy.
Yeah. Now, some people, just before we go to a break, some people, when you say the word obey, all right, you know, because again, the Jerry Springer Society, you ain't going to tell me what to do. So we say, obey? I ain't obeying nobody. You ain't my master. So what do we mean when we say obey?
This obey is like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Obey the creator.
And the husband is applying the laws and the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of your husband. If your husband asks you to steal, cheat, not pray, do something wrong, there's no obedience
no
there.
Obedience.
Because there's no obedience anyone in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
So you're actually obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you're not married to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God forbid, you're married to your husband. That's where you show the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, inshallah.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more here on The Deen Show.
He is the maintainer,
You say that you do not believe in Jesus, you have stepped outside of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim. It is a tenet of our faith to believe in and love Jesus Christ.
Why is it then, when it comes to one of the most important decisions in life, we literally abuse ourselves? It's not that the main thing we're looking for is to see what type of money he has so that he can treat my daughter like a princess. It's not about that.
He is the one who protects us from hunger.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we're discussing family, keeping it together. We don't want it to fall apart. So knowing your roles, knowing your responsibilities, and then living up to it.
Yes.
So tell us now, giving us some more examples. We know that Islam is the perfect way of life. It's not man-made. All the evidence points to this being from the one who is the most loving, merciful, kind, the creator of the heavens and earth. He's the most just. He knows best. So at the end of the day, when your husband tells you, honey, listen, if we're going to fight, let's fight in a polite way. Honey, let's do it this way because I feel it's best. So the woman should do a jihad, a struggle. Maybe she's coming from Jahiliyyah. Same for the man.
Yes.
She's been watching a lot of Jerry's. She left all that alone now, and she wants to be a good woman, a good Muslim woman. She's got to, because sometimes that inside of you just wants to lash out. You just want to, you know, your emotions get high. You got to submit.
I want to give you a real example.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a member of my family,
yeah,
lady that is really pious. She was fixing a nice meal to her husband, who's a really pious man. And he was sitting down waiting for her to finish setting up the table. And, there was an article in the newspaper that actually attracted him, and he was taken by it. And his wife kept calling him, come to the dinner, come to dinner, come to dinner. So she really got mad. And then she went, grabbed the newspaper, and tore it apart. She was really mad. And the advice from Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never get mad, never get mad, never get mad. When a man came to him and said, I'm simple-minded, I do not know how to put all Islamic law in my head, tell me something that if I follow, inshallah, I'll get into Jannah. Don't get mad, and repeat it 3 times. What would the husband do? Look at the manners of Islam, because he's a good Muslim. He waited till she calmed down. And the first thing that he did, he went to the ground and picked up the pieces of the newspaper and scotch taped them together and did it in nice, polite way without even looking at her. She said to me that I'd rather that somebody whip me or beat me up to death than the pain that I felt of his politeness in as an answer to how rude I was.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how marriages, the tolerance and the politeness happens. But we want to touch upon a very important point, which is don't buy a broken car,
yeah,
a really bad car, and then bring the best mechanic in the world to fix it and call that a good marriage. A good marriage starts with how to pick up the good wife and the good husband. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave us the ultimate guidance of that. The one with the deen, the man with the deen, deen always means, in the language of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the good manners. Not just one who memorized the Quran or have the longest beard, a man who practically proves his Islam by dealing with people with the manners of Islam and the manners of the Prophet. That's how you choose a husband. How to choose a wife. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, his famous hadith, a woman is pursued for marriage for four: her beauty, her money, her social status, or her deen. And deen again, her manners. Prophet Muhammad advised, فَظُفُرْ بِذَاتَ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Take the one with the deen, otherwise you would regret it. And we all know as husbands, the most beautiful woman, the woman with the more money, and the family or whatever, you would marry her 2 weeks, 3 weeks tops, for whatever these reasons, and they become normal. What last is the quality of her character, her manners as a Muslim woman, her deen. Choose the one with the deen. Choose the one that adheres to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in you. And then the marriage would be an easy sail. You have the wind at your back. Picking the husband that way and picking the wife that way. That's the foundation of a marriage that lasts.
I'm going to give some more practical examples. You're living with that person, and you know what? Shaitan, he wants to break the home. This is one of the things that he loves, is to dividing husband and wife. So when jealousy comes in,
yes,
or bad attitude, or some of these other things that kind of will end up making a husband angry with his wife, or a wife angry with the husband, give some practical advice, like how we don't let that escalate
and get out of hand. That's a very important point. The overwhelming majority, especially of the wives, and I would let our sisters pay attention to that, is that the husband does something that they don't like or hate, and they don't express that to the husband. And the husband thinks, you know what, I know this is wrong, but that's okay with her, so no problem. Next time, I'll let it out the same way. And then he keeps doing that hateful thing, and sometimes even in a worse way. And she does not still express it till it comes to a point where I see in marriages that lasts for 14, 15 years with four children, and the wife comes to a point that's it, no matter what you do, divorce, no way back. And I spend a year and a half with the family, a year and a half, doing, you know, circus work. Not just as an imam, doing everything that you can possibly imagine, try to put the family together. And she had so much built up of anger, of all that residual over the years. And the husband told me innocently, and I believed him, I didn't know that she didn't like that.
Talk about communication.
Yes. Express in a nice, polite way. After the dust settles, I don't like that. Saying things sometimes diffuses the whole thing. Saying no, I don't like to do this. No matter what kind of man it is, he would think twice before doing it again. Never mind the third time, never keep doing it till the woman explodes. And she's a good sister, and he was a good husband, but communication. Obeying the husband is something, and communicating with the husband is a different thing. And the same thing, husbands, you know, and this is harder for the husband if the wife is not communicating. Do not take advantage of, you know, when a wife is, you know, obedient and nice and does not want to start fights and so on and so forth. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Do not abuse it.
Yeah.
And as we know, the wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, a wisdom is what a believer seeks. And when he finds it, he's most deserving of it. Al-hikmah, dalatul mu'min. Inna wajaduha, wajadaha fahuwa ahaqqu bih. If your wife is like that, then listen to the common wisdom, even the street. What you abuse is, what you lose.
Yeah. Tell us now, you mentioned in the previous show where the woman being and letting out more of these woman qualities, the softness, the man being a man, but sometimes the roles get reversed, and the woman, you have like sometimes two men in the house, and no man likes another man in the house.
Yes.
So how important is it, like, sticking to your nature and not being one who's taking the man's role, or the man taking the woman's role?
The best quality the female can enjoy is it, her being a true female versus a real man with the man quality. And the way that a man feels his manhood and enjoys and have pleasure with it is with a true female.
Yeah.
The more female she is, the more man he is, and the more identified that quality, the more they both is going to enjoy their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it to each one to complement each other. Actually, I'm an engineer by education. And actually, the electric current that everything around you works with, how does it work? A positive and a negative. And because of the potential difference, that what we call in engineering, the current moves from the positive to the negative, and by that circulation, life works. So the thing that the positive needs from the negative and the things that the negative needs from the positive, that's what creates the current of life, the way mm-hmm. I call it. So, you know, if a man agrees to be a lesser man in his household, that's lesser of quality of life for him as a man, and the more mannish a woman become, even not in behavior or physically, but just by the way that she treats her husband, the quality of life is gone, and then the marriage is, you know, well, they're roommates, and roommates can change mates left and right.
Yeah.
Why stick to this roommate?
You have some brothers who also bring up the whip of the tongue. Yes. Sometimes it can happen for the man too, but sometimes the woman will whip the husband with the tongue. You know what I mean by
yes.
the tongue? And it really gets out of hand. How do we control this tongue?
Actually, one of the things the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned about, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, one of the greatest companions of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, asked the question innocently. And you can tell, and it's very rare in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he can sense some anger there. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very patient. He asked him, are we going to be judged for what we say? Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Thakilatka umak," may your mother lose you. And this is very rare that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that. Isn't it? What pours people on their faces into hellfire is the harvest of their tongues.
The tongue, huh?
Yes. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a man came to him and said, "O Prophet, guarantee me paradise." Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Guarantee me what's between your lips and between your thighs," you know, implying to, you know, adultery, "I would guarantee you paradise." And if you think about it, two-thirds of the way to paradise is the tongue. And a lot of people do not realize that one word that you say in a moment of anger can devastate someone's character, can devastate someone's personal stamina, and confidence in themselves. Oh, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. We have to be careful with that. Yes, we say things in moments of anger, but do not, you know, use that whip of a tongue, especially when the woman challenges the manhood of the man. Oh, you're not man enough to do this. If you're man enough, divorce me. If you do, and these challenges that we put by words in stupidity of anger, and anger, as per the definition of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, is when the shaitan is riding you. Mm. When you allow yourself to get angry, you're not holding the steering wheel of your life anymore. It's the devil. And the devil does not want to hurt you. The devil want to put you in hellfire. He doesn't want it halfway. That's why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, do not get angry. If you get angry, sit down. If you cannot sit down, lie down. The first thing to defeat anger with is just make ablution. Why? What's happening is fire from the devil, and you put it off by the water of ablution. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, and so on and so forth. So avoid these moments of anger. Choose your wife correctly. Have tolerance. Be grateful for what you have already, because you never know the beautiful women outside that look so nice and fancy. You don't know how trustworthy they are, how honest they are, how protective they are. Are they going to be good mothers or not? One of the good things in Islam, and I said it before, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying on time and then doing well by parents. The second best thing that a Muslim can do is doing well by parents. And we know something that is called عقوق الوالدين, which anyone should avoid at any cost, which is you're not doing well by your parents. That's a very big sin and a big loss. But there's also عقوق الأبناء, meaning that you're not doing well by your sons and daughters. What's the definition of that? A woman that is not a good Muslim, that does not have a good reputation, that might have a deviated behavior, and just for her looks or whatever circumstances, you just get married to her. And now you force your son from her or daughter from her to have a mother with that bad reputation, with that bad mannerism, and by that you belittled and took and devastated the rights of your own son and daughter upon you when you chose that mother to be their mother, that woman to be their mother.
This is such a vast topic, so I'm just closing a few important points, the do's and don'ts in the last 2 minutes that we have. You said outside influence, it should be limited to who? Like, you know, the wife, should she be going back to her mother, the son going here, and then, you know, the whole community coming in and giving their opinion, what they think is right, but actually making it worse. Who should they go to? Who should they not go to make this work?
It's up. The responsibility of marriage is the responsibility of the man and the woman, the husband and wife. They are allowed, and as a matter of fact, they are persuaded and encouraged to go seek advice. But give the advice about the specifics of your house, common advice. Do not tell the secrets of your household to people who are close by so they can influence and make a small problem a bigger problem. Seek knowledge from people you do not know. Read, ask a sheikh, ask a scholar without even stating your name. And find out what is the right thing to do about that situation, what to do with your husband. Do not get people, even the closest people to you, get involved with that much details. You are responsible, they're not. You're the one who's going to carry the burden and the responsibility. If it works or not, they're not. And I don't know any mother that compensated a good wife for a good husband. I don't know any father who compensated a good son for his good wife. It never happened, and it will never happen. And at the end of the day, you're the one to blame. You carry the responsibility, so take care of your own problems.
So your beloved sibling or your mother can actually, at the end, do more harm than good?
Many cases that happened. Yeah. Many cases that happened.
Even though they love you, they have good intention.
And I have this final example, a mother that actually, her son-in-law, who was a laborer, he was not a professional, works about 12 hours a day, and he had the courtesy to invite her to live with him and his kids. And the man worked like a mule all day to provide for the family, and he would kill himself to provide for everything of them. Whenever they get invited to some of the relatives, who are professionals, who have better careers and better jobs, that her daughter, his wife, does not qualify to that life because she's not that educated either, she would make sure that she tell, oh, I feel sorry for you. Look at the cars they have, the houses they have, the furniture they have. Why you accept that? And she kept belittling the man so much that the woman said, I have to get a divorce. My life is being wasted. Now she's on food stamps. And her mother just left her to live with her own other son.
Wow. Good intention.
Maybe the mother thought that she's doing a good thing, but, you know, again, who is carrying the blame and the responsibility and the burden at the end of the day? It's you.
It's you. So turn it back to Allah and His Messenger. Live life according to Allah's will, not your desires. Consult with physicians, scholars in Islam, and try to live.
And not because you love me, as a friend or a mother or anything. You know, my mother loved me more like anything in the world. But when I had Anita surgery, I would not go to her. I would go to a surgeon.
Yeah.
When, you know, somebody, your brother who's a great one and he's a mechanic, you have a low matter, you're not going to take him to represent you in court. Yeah. Even though nobody loves you like him. Same thing. My mother or my father love me the most, but they're not the expertise and they don't have the wherewithal. Ask a scholar, know the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you abide by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will draw protection and blessing from him, inshallah.
And this is more important probably than even a heart surgery,
yes.
Family business.
Yes, the whole life, the whole quality of your life.
One final quote I heard, be his servant and he'll be your slave. Have you heard this?
Yes, and it's true.
And it's true.
And it's true.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. People can visit you at theliesaboutmuhammad.com.
Yes.
You're the author of the book.
Yes.
And you have your own website.
Yeah, we made a website for the book, theliesaboutmuhammad.com itself, where we have our blog and media, inshallah, about the whole issue.
Thank you very much.
JazakAllah
khair. You too. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show, keeping the family together. This is something so important in Islam, because if you got broken homes, you got broken societies, work hard to get to know this beautiful way of life. Know the roles and responsibilities that Allah has bestowed upon you and live them, submit to them. This is your test. It's one thing saying you believe, but then are you going to follow it up with action? And when a calamity hits, you want to be patient and you want to do all the good that Allah has told you to do, because it's a test and trial. Your whole life from the womb to the tomb, and you don't want to give up. You don't want to give up. You want to stay with it all the way to the end, and you want to keep those families together. You want to bring those children up in a healthy environment so they can be a benefit to society. And what better way when husband and wife are together, staying together, working together, so then they can produce wonderful results. So with that said, we hope that you got to benefit, and we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show, same time, same channel. Peace be unto you.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.